And it's time now for our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. Good morning, Richard.
Unfortunately, Paul, I've got to go. When you've got to go, you've got to go.
Oh, definitely when you've got to go.
Back.
Yeah, you're back. That is good. Hey, listen, this question without notice. Samsung has announced something. What is it?
They've announced some new phones. And I've got to say, every year we've got the big Samsung announcements for new phones. We've got the new Apple announced for new phones. And I've got to say, they really set the benchmarks for what we're about to see.
Ooh.
So it's about topping one another. So they've announced the new Galaxy S10 range, which will be released in Australia on March the 8th. So Samsung have announced five phones that are going to come out, and I'll get to them. There is a budget S10e, which has got a 5.8-inch screen. Great cameras, great screen in the Samsung ones, got to say that. It goes all the way up to the S10 Plus phone, which is a 6.4-inch screen, triple camera on the back. So I won't go through all the camera specs on there. But one thing about Samsung is they're going to be the first company in Australia to release a 5G phone. So they're going to take advantage of that. Now, one of the Telstra out there, if you buy an S10 Plus, when the 5G phone gets released, you can just go along and swap it over for the 5G. I've got to say, that's an amazing offer out there. So lots of new things about it. You need to ask me about the pricing, though, Paul.
Yes. And by the way, Richard, what about the pricing?
So the Samsung Galaxy, the budget phone will start at $1,199. Then we go up to the S10 Plus.
Wait, I'm just picking myself off the floor. What was that again?
$1,199 for the budget one. The S10 Plus, which is the largest size phone, there is an S10 as well, but the largest S10 Plus will start at $1,499. But there is one with 1 terabyte of storage, Paul, that's going to be $2,399.
My goodness. I'm sorry, but that is a lot of money for a phone.
Know that, Paul. And you know, I think magnificent device. If that's all you ever use, if you don't use a computer, knock yourself out. But they're getting so expensive, Paul. They really are.
Now, Richard, usually things like TVs, for example, big screen TVs and 3D and all of that, they normally get cheaper. They're very expensive when they come out, but they get down and down and down and down in price. But it doesn't seem the phones are going that way.
No, phones are getting as a luxury thing. There are plenty of bargain phones out there to be found. Oppo phones, OPPO, got some great bargain phones out there as well. But the Samsung phones, like the Apple phones now, are the premium end of the market. Now, they also announced, Paul, a foldable phone, which is going to be called the Galaxy Fold. Now, what happens is that literally there is a screen on the front, but you open it up and it ends up being a 7.3. It's like a little mini tablet inside. I quite like the look of it. It's the first generation of something like this. Great camera in there as well. So, you know, again, they've got 16 megapixel, you know, camera in there for, you know, lots of RAM, huge battery life in there as well. So I'm going to be interested to see, one, how this sells and what we're going to see coming afterwards. So, you know, I've got to really see this one to go along and believe it. I've got to say, a foldable phone, I'm not really sure.
Well, the old phones used to be foldable, didn't they? Is that the similar thing that has a little hinge on it?
It's got a little hinge, but the screen bends when you go along and unfold
the screen bends.
The screen bend. So I'm looking to see the quality of the screen. You know, it's going to be very interesting. Now, you need to ask me about pricing for this one, Paul.
What is the pricing for that one, Richard?
It should be released about the middle of the year. It is starting in a US price of $1,980 US. So that's about $2,800 locally.
Oh.
And then we've got to put... then we've got to put GST on top of that.
Jeez. My goodness.
You know, yeah, so I reckon it'll sell for $2,999.
That's
Paul.
Right. Now, from now on, you'll have to go to your bank manager and say, yes, Paul, what can I do for you? And I'll say to him, I need a loan for a phone. Yeah.
It's for phenomenal price, isn't it, Paul?
It is phenomenal prices. As I said, I expected phones to get cheaper, but they're not. And I guess that, you know, they've kind of got us, haven't they? And there are a lot of people out there who want the latest gadget, and they will pay anything for it. They'll even put themselves into debt for it.
They will. And I've got to say, what a lot of people will do is, like, the wife or a husband will go into, you know, a telco store and, you know, say, I really want the new Samsung Galaxy Fold, and that's fine. It will only cost you, you know. But they build it into the contract, Paul. So they go in the office and say, look, I've got a new phone. Is there any difference in the contract? No, no, no. Everything will be fine. So,
Yeah, a lot of people.
It's an interesting time we live in, Paul.
It
but
is.
Really, it's a camera that comes with a phone.
All right, if you look at it that way, I suppose that will ease the pain slightly. Now, we're talking to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. And Richard, before we go any further, we need to talk about the government and handling tech issues. Now, we had Parliament House supposedly hacked. And so what's going on with our government? They're accusing China of it. We now have China saying that they don't want to buy our coal anymore. I mean, what the hell's going on with the government and tech issues?
It really concerns me, Paul, especially with an election coming up this year. I mean, everybody's saying it's China, but, you know, let's be quite honest. It could be North Korea. It could be Russia interfering in it. I was concerned about some of the wording that came out. I've got to say, especially when he said a sophisticated state actor, I mean, that went straight over everybody's head.
Well, I thought it was Geoffrey Rush.
Well, he's responsible for nearly everything in the country.
Well, he's
I love you, Geoffrey.
Yeah, well, he's a wonderful actor. And when I saw actor, I thought it could have been Geoffrey Rush, but it wasn't, apparently. That means something totally different.
It does. I don't think we're doing tech very well as far as the government is concerned. They're great at coming out and telling us what to do. What really concerns me on two aspects is if we step back a few weeks as far as the encryption laws that were passed, how can we trust the government not to keep a handle on those sort of things, and we trust them about that's concerned. So they're after backdoors into messaging things. But, you know, if they've been hacked, then that's going to be distributed around the world. That's one thing that concerns me. The other thing that concerns me is, yep, Parliament House got hacked, but staffers take, as you well know, laptops and computers home with them at night. Now, then they're, you know, and nobody can tell me that they're not taking documents home that aren't confidential. And when they enter the home, that can be one of the greatest places that suddenly everything falls down around their ears as far as being hacking is concerned. So, yep, we can tie Parliament House down, but I think there's a few other issues the government has to address. Then when they came out, I think it was Thursday, and they said, we're going to school up the kids to be, you know, to help combat cyber hackers. I thought, well, that's just admitting we don't know what we're doing now. We might be right in about 20 years time.
And now what would be the first thing you'd do if you were in charge of the government tech side, so to speak?
The scorched earth policy. I think that once you've been breached, I think it's about wiping everything off and starting again, which they won't do. Nobody ever likes doing that. I think, you know, I mean, I get phone calls, you know, and get told things that we have old equipment hanging around as well. We've seen problems with the tax office the past couple of years as well. I'm saying this very carefully here. I think a lot of that was probably covered up as well from conversations I had with accountants, you know, around the country. We don't do it well, Paul. And I think, you know, we need to do it well so that the people have confidence in what the government's saying. At the moment, they don't. And I think on either side, it's going to be just as bad.
Okay. Social media and children. Now, we've spoken about this before. We need to know what the kids are doing as much as we can. I know that a lot of kids keep secret stuff from their parents and all that, but we really need to know what our kids are doing and our grandkids are doing re-social media.
We do. I had a phone call from a parent, 12-year-old daughter. Mum was on the phone first to me. They were concerned about this, their little girl getting unwanted messages in Instagram. I pointed out to them, first of all, you actually have to be 13 years old to have a social media account. They said, we had no idea about that. And I said, well, you need to get some education about this for a start. Then they wanted to go along basically and say, well, you know, surely, Richard, there's an app that can go along and just prevent any of this happening. All the controls are actually built into social media. So they're built into Instagram. They're built into Facebook as well. And I said, basically, I'd be saying to your daughter who's 12 years old, I'm going to cancel your account. And they were saying, I can't do that because she will really carry on. That's when I said, it's about time you actually became parents to your daughter. It's a terrible thing to say, Paul, for me to deliver a lecture about parenting to somebody. Be a parent. You know, if the kid's going to carry on, cancel the account. You know, no kid under 13 should have a social media account at all.
I mean, trouble with these days, I'm sorry to interrupt, but these days parents are so afraid that kids will divorce them. They'll take legal action against them. I mean, you just don't know. These avenues are all open to kids. I mean, once upon a time, my dad and my mum would not. They had discipline in the home. I didn't say, not that they belted me or anything, but they had discipline. They said, right, well, you're not going out at the weekend. And they stuck to it. And of course, then I woke up and went, well, maybe I won't do that anymore. But these days, you're so afraid that kids will divorce you or take legal action that parents are afraid.
They are. So I said to them, you know, what you need to do is Instagram have got great advice up there for every parent about setting up things like private, you know, private accounts, not sharing things publicly. Facebook do the same thing. Snapchat do the same thing. YouTube do the same thing. And then they went, does that mean we have to go along and do a bit of research about this? Well, yes, it does, Paul. You know, it's people have got to go along and do that. Go in. Research these things. It's much better for you to do and get some idea. And what I say to parents is, you know, if you've got a 13-year-old, child in the house, get your own Facebook account, get your own Instagram account, so you're learning what they're going through as well.
Know about the enemy being social media. Absolutely. Now,
exactly right.
Exactly. Richard Pascoe is our tech guy here at Fab FM, and today we're talking about all things tech and in cyberspace and what have you. Now, things your smartphone can do that you never thought about.
I thought these were fascinating. I've actually put these up on the site as well. You know, when you're taking a video, Paul, and you're thinking, I'd just like a couple of snapshots as well, while I'm recording the video on my smartphone, you will find that just to the side of the main red video recording button is the shutter button. So you can actually snap some photos while you're recording video as well. Works on Android phones and Apple phones as well. I reckon that's a great idea.
Okay, I'm just going in there now. So you're saying I go to my video where the little red button is?
Yep. Start recording video.
Start recording video.
And then you'll see the... you'll see the camera button should be right next to it, Paul.
The camera button. Oh, you're right. And then I can go take some pictures.
Snap some photos as well.
I did not know that. There you go. Learn something every single day. That's fantastic.
Now, you can also use your phone as a level as well. So spirit level, if you've got an iPhone, not a problem at all.
Now, calling all tradies, you can use your phone as a spirit level.
That's right. So what you do is you open up the Measure app, and then there's a level option at the bottom. Now, can I also say, if you're measuring things with the Measure app, you need to calibrate it first. Because sometimes when you measure things, it might not be the required length.
So you'd be measuring things at home, maybe.
Yes. And, you know, if you send some measurements over the internet as well, they might not be accurate as well.
No, you don't. And you don't want things to be inaccurate when it comes to measurement.
No, you don't, Paul. So this is probably one of the most G-rated segments we've ever done. And there are Android apps available to go along and do this as well. But have a look at the Measure app as well. Use your phone as a level. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. That's a good thing if it's level too. Things should be level as well as getting the right length.
Oh, you've got to get the right length, Paul. Yep. One time I used the Measure app and I was at a client's place and I said, I'm going to use the Measure app because they wanted to put a TV in this cavity.
Yep.
And I didn't calibrate it at first, Paul, and I said, it's not going to fit. This person went and got a towel and measured it with a towel and said, yes, it will. It made it by a couple of millimetres on either side.
There you go.
So So you've got to make sure you calibrate the Measure app first.
Absolutely. All right. Well, now, yeah, go on.
Last tip I've got for you is read out your texts when people send them to say, you know, you're driving along in the car. Don't go picking your phone up in the car because the police love that. It's dangerous to go along and do that. But you can go along and say, hey, Siri, read my texts. Then you can actually get them, you can reply to them as well. So Paul might send me a text and I can say, yep, reply back to Paul. I'll talk to you at 9:30 Friday mornings on an Android device. Or he says, hey, Google, read my text. And you can have them repeated or reply to them as well.
That is fantastic. And last but not least, the Digital 2019 report is now out. Tell us about it.
This is a report that's not been available to generally everybody, but they've released it to a lot more people this year, so I was able to get hold of it. Some fascinating facts in there, Paul. So 360 million people actually came online for the first time during 2018. So that's more than a million new users a day going online. And 57% of the world's population is connected to the internet. Got to say, radio still covers 98% of the world.
Yes.
People should remember that.
Yes, yes, yes.
I thought you'd like that fact, Paul.
Yes.
The average internet user now spends more than 6.5 hours online each day. Now, when you equate that to the world's digital community, that means in 2019, we will spend 1.2 billion years using the internet. Phenomenal figure, I think.
Absolutely.
What about Australia?
In
Australia, 96% of us have a mobile phone. 87% of those are now smartphones as well. 12% of us are now wearing a wearable tech device. So that's your Apple Watches, your Fitbits as well. Now, that's come from virtually, I think it was 3% last year to 12%. So we did skyrocketing.
Oh, well, I have a watch, you see. I have my watch on at the moment. And, of course, I'm one of those 12%.
As I am too, Paul. How much in Australia, we spend 5 hours and 4 minutes on the internet every day, but we also spend 1 hour and 31 minutes a day on social media as well. So it's a lot of time we spend on the net. TV viewing, we watch for 3 hours and 2 minutes a day. The last couple here, Paul, are interesting. The mobile internet connection. So when you connect with your mobile phone through to the internet, the average speed now is 56.5 megabits per second. That's up 16% on last year.
We're getting faster.
When the new networks roll out, got to say that's going to end up being quite slow because we're going to go up to the hundreds of megabits per second. The average speed of fixed internet connection, so that's coming to your home or your business, is now 33 megabits per second. That's up 28% on last year.
Ah.
So, you know, yep, we criticise the NBN, but it's lifting that average. We're still not up where we should be in the world, got to say that. And lastly, 25% of us now use voice search or voice commands. So that's when we talk to Siri, we talk to Google now, and that's come up from virtually nothing last year to that. So if you haven't talked to your device, people always say nobody ever does it. One in four of us are actually doing it now, Paul.
Beautiful. All right, Richard, thank you so much. We covered a lot today. If anybody wants to contact you, they can go to talktech.com.au. And I will talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, Paul.